Good morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. And a very important person is actually on the way to be on this show this morning. He's here! Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas is here. Hi!
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm a little bit late. I apologize for that, but I'm really glad to be here.
Well, you know, you're an important person, Chief.
Well, I'm just a busy person.
Yes. Well, we're so glad to see you. Do you need any coffee or water or anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're so glad you're here this morning. Thank you. I was going to stall. I'm getting ready to stall.
I'm glad that you didn't have to. I'm glad I came in right at the nick of time.
That's awesome. Well, it's great to see you this morning, Chief. I did want to hop in, and I'm sure you heard the study that came out by the state. About half of Coloradans now live in high fire danger areas. That's got to be very concerning.
Well, it is. And, you know, it was big news. I've seen it on the broadcasts and things about the number of people that live in the wildland urban interface. But to us here in Colorado Springs, it wasn't really new news to us. We've known that for a long time. Our community in particular, we've got over 34,000 addresses in the wildland urban interface. And we've known that for a long time. The most in Colorado are right here in Colorado Springs.
In all of Colorado.
Yeah, for any one community.
You bet. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that means mitigation is more important than ever. And I know we've seen a lot of mitigation going on. And even on the backside of Pikes Peak, there's been mitigation going on.
There is. The county's been very involved in it lately. You've seen on northern part of Colorado or northern part of El Paso County, they've been doing some prescribed burns in the last week or so, trying to reduce some of that fuel loading. As far as mitigation goes, particularly with homeowners, I'm really proud of our department and really the folks that work in the wildland mitigation program. They've done great jobs partnering with people in the community, individual homeowners, with through CONO, the neighborhood organizations, and also with private industries.
Right.
They just received a grant.
I was going to say, didn't you guys just get a big grant?
Yeah, $15,000 from Allstate. Okay. And we're going to be working with homeowners to see how we can best use that grant in a cost-sharing format so that we can... They share part of the responsibility. We augment that with grants, and we get their property taken care of.
Well, and I have to say, I was talking with Mike about this morning, and of course, as we saw in California last week, that was seriously one of the most devastating fires I have seen, I think, in my life.
Well, I think across the country, we've not seen anything like that, where literally thousands of homes and even businesses are just leveled, and the level of devastation is crazy. We know what that felt like in Colorado Springs when we lost 347 homes in the Waldo Canyon fire, and most importantly, two lives. Yeah. But to think that they're now at, I think, 86 lives and still over 200, close to 300 that are still missing, I can't even imagine the impact that those folks are going through. And then now with rains coming and having to prepare for the flooding that we saw here, they're just seeing all of that on just a huge scale compared to what we experienced here.
Well, and I think it just reiterates, doesn't it, the mitigate. And they can reach out to the department to get help with mitigation. If you don't even know where to begin, call CSFT.
That's right. We will help individual homeowners. We do individual site visits where we can come to somebody's house and show them what they can do for their particular property to make it safer. And then I really want to throw a kudos to our Division of the Fire Marshal. Our Fire Marshal's folks in fire prevention have done just a terrific job. We started this years and years ago by what we call a Class A roofing ordinance, and it was passed by City Council many years ago. I can't even tell you how many off the top of my head, but it's really saying those shake shingle roofs that can catch embers, they don't belong in the hillside area, in the wildland urban interface. And so when any of those roofs were replaced, they had to be replaced with a non-combustible roof. Now, we did that many years ago. And then after the Waldo Canyon fire, we took it a step further. And again, with the support of our mayor and the city council, we were able to pass some building ordinances so that buildings are hardened in that area. All of the rebuilt homes in the Waldo Canyon area have been built to a new specification that makes them more resistant to wildfire. Not to say that they can't burn. Of course, anything can.
Yeah.
But it does make them less susceptible to wildfire.
Well, and it's just good news that, again, that law is to help homeowners hopefully protect their property and their neighborhood.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, if one neighbor protects their house, that protects their neighbor's house as well. So getting them to work together to see that see the problem and to head it off, because what we don't want is to have some people that are non-compliant that don't care about their property. Right. That really puts everybody else at risk, too.
Okay, so let's take a quick break. We're going to give Chief a chance to catch his breath, and we'll have more with Chief Ted Kolisch from the Colorado Springs Fire Department coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Kolisch. And Chief, we've talked about this numerous times, but it's so important because 2019 is a big year for the department, along with the police department, because now finally getting some increased funding to help the department.
We are. We're getting staffing that we've desperately needed for a long time. This year.
Yeah.
We're still in 18, right?
Yeah, almost. We're almost done.
Let me check the calendar. I think we're still in 18.
Yeah.
This year, we were able to get 8 additional firefighter positions in Colorado Springs. Next year, we'll get 8 more additional positions in Colorado Springs. That's really going to help take some of that workload burden off of our firefighters. We've been stretching them very thin, and they've done a terrific job out there working really long hours, continuous days at a stretch sometimes. But they've done very, very good, and we're trying to get them some relief. And the mayor, through the budget process, has been able to help us 2 years in a row, adding 16 firefighters. That's going to be a big deal to us. That'll get us up to our fighting strength, the same numbers that we were at in 2008.
Okay.
But we have more people deployed now, so we've got more units on the road with that same number of folks. So fortunately, in the mayor's plan, in the next couple of years, we're looking at adding 8 more additional firefighters for the next 2 years after that.
Okay, so just keep adding year after year.
Yeah, and that's really important. That's without adding fire stations or anything. That's just adding to our staffing to get our numbers where they need to be. And we're going to do some things like get our hazmat truck back up and operational.
Okay.
Now, I don't want folks out there to think that we haven't had hazmat response. We've been doing that, but it's called a cross-staffing, where an engine up at Station 14 is also the same 4 individuals right on that fire engine that puts fires out. And when a hazmat call comes in, they take their stuff off the fire engine, move it across to a different truck, and go out on the hazmat truck. And it leaves that district then without a fire engine response while they're out on hazmat. And we backfill from other stations. We make sure our community's taken care of. But we're very grateful that in the next couple of years, we're going to get that hazmat back up to be a full-time unit in the city.
Now, is that normally Station 9? I'm just acting like I know what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
many years ago, it was at Station 9. And for the last several years, though, it's been at Station 14.
Okay.
That's at Dublin and Academy.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Yeah, flat that out. Look what I was talking about. Not really. Well, that has to be some great news. And like you said, a lot of firefighters have been deployed this year with all the natural disasters that have gone on and fires. Now, some of those firefighters, if folks don't know, are deployed at a federal level.
They are. And we do still support the Colorado Task Force 1. We have several members of our heavy rescue team and others on the department that are part of Colorado Task Force 1. They've been very active in the last couple of years to hurricane responses down along the Gulf Coast and as far down as the Florida Keys. We have not had the ability to send folks out for wildland responses. And that I'm saying that to my own chagrin. I wish that we had, but our staffing levels have been so low that we haven't been able to support that. But that's one of the things that we're looking forward to in this next year, is getting our staffing where it needs to be so we can put units available to go out and help other communities just the same way that we received help during the Waldo Canyon and Black Forest fires.
Absolutely. And speaking of adding more firefighters and staff, I'm sure also looking at aging equipment moving forward.
Always looking at aging equipment. That's something that's really hard to keep up with. Inflation somehow hits fire engines and fire trucks harder than it hits the rest of the economy, and those things go up very much every year. They increase in price. But we are going to receive 3 brand new engines from Pierce Manufacturing, and they'll be coming in. In fact, they're here in Colorado now. They're getting some last-minute things added to them, so we think right the first part of December we're going to have them here in Colorado Springs.
Wow.
We'll do a few more things, mounting some equipment and stuff, and we'll get them out on the road serving our community just as quick as we can. And each one of those represents a $500,000 investment from our community in each one of those engines. So we've got those three coming in. Next year, through some agreements with some surrounding agencies and also with our own replacement, we have on tap to order four fire engines and one fire truck.
And that's next year?
That's next year, 19. And that truck is, when I say truck, that's the ladder company that has the big mounted ladder on the top of it. The fire engines are what hooks up to the fire hydrants and pumps the water to the fires.
Well, that's exciting news, because I know we have talked about before, Chief, it's like, how long can we get this certain fire truck or fire engine to strike? And I know the department is you have a great team that works on that.
Yeah, we've got some of the greatest mechanics and maintenance division staff that really keep those things up and running all the time. But we got some old equipment out there. We've got one engine that has got 338,000 miles.
Wow.
Now, you know, for over-the-road trucks, the big semis that are going state to state, that's not necessarily a lot of miles. But for fire engines, that all of those miles are in short bursts. They go from a cold start to pedal to the metal kind of thing. 338,000 miles is cutting it pretty thin on those things. So we'll be glad to replace those coming up in December.
Now, when the three new engines get here and get finished up, do you guys do like a... hey, we have new engines, like celebration with that community, that neighborhood?
Yeah, well, we'll do kind of a media thing. We'll get all those three engines together and we'll invite the media out to look at it, because it does. Those three engines represent $1.5 million investment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that, $1.5 million investment to our community. And so we want to celebrate that.
Right.
And we'll take really good care of those things. We'll get a lot of life out of them. And they'll be serving this community for about 15 to 17 years.
That's great. That's great that you're getting some new equipment.
Yeah.
And new firefighters. That's fantastic. Okay, so we're going to take a quick news break. When we come back, it is the holidays. And we know what that means. Stuff can happen.
Right. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about keeping you and your family safe. We're talking with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas, and I was just handed the 2000, you've seen these, right? The 2019 Colorado Springs Police Canine Calendar.
Those are pretty cool. I like that.
I just asked, when is the firefighter calendar going
to
come out?
Well, we don't have puppies to put on a calendar.
Well, no, you can put firefighters.
Yeah, occasionally our association, the Local 5, comes out with those.
That's awesome.
Yeah, not every year, but it's probably time for them to consider another one.
But it's a great fundraiser, too, to help support the foundation and the fire department.
Yeah, they use it for exactly that, to support their foundation and add some money to their foundation, yeah.
Well, and speaking of the foundation, we did talk to members of the Fire Foundation, and it's incredible how they support the department, because things that you guys cannot get right away, that's how the foundation can help.
Really, they step in and help us out with those kinds of things that we haven't been able to secure funding for, much in the same way that the Police Foundation helps out with the police department mm-hmm. around town. And we don't quite have the momentum that the Police Foundation does, but they've been in place for a long time now. And we're just, I think, in our second year with the Fire Foundation.
Right.
So getting our feet under us, or they are getting their feet under them and doing some really great things for our department.
Well, and I remember one of the things I think they helped the fire department with last year was the extrication equipment, wasn't it?
They did. They got us some extrication equipment and some new cutters that were able to cut through the new construction in automobiles that we, you know, our old equipment was just struggling with. So they've been really beneficial with that, helping us with that. And they're working with Shield 616 to get our firefighters into ballistic wear, too.
And I know that has been very important for you.
It
for
is.
Your firefighters, because including, and I think you've told me some of the incidents before, where just because firefighters are there and they're not police officers doesn't mean they're not, you know, keeping the public safe. And some of them, many of them, put their lives on the line to protect the public.
They are. They are in harm's way more often than we like to think about,
yeah.
You know, and we understand that, and we are prepared for that threat on the fire side. You know, we train very hard. We've got excellent crews that understand their operations very, very well. But the world around us is changing, mm-hmm. and the number of active shooter events and things like that that we are being called to, along with our partners on the police department, those things are just on the increase, and we don't have any we don't believe those are going to be going down anytime soon. They're right. just going to become more and more frequent. It's just the condition of our country right now, and we need our firefighters to be
absolutely
prepared and as safe as possible.
Well, and talking with you and talking with Shield 616, they are a little bit different, the vests for the firefighters, because they have to be kind of built completely different, don't they?
They are, because police officers are issued a soft body armor that protects them against hand grenade rounds. Firefighters are not issued that equipment. So the vest that we get through Shield 616 has an incorporated soft body armor in it, along with the rifle rated plates.
On top of it, right?
Yeah. And when the police department worked with Shield 616, theirs was a nylon vest that had the rifle plates in it that went over the soft body armor that they wear underneath their uniform shirts. So a little bit different construction, but Shield 616 has made it look like our fire department uniforms.
That's great.
They look like our bunker gear. We don't want to be mistaken for police officers. That's not our role.
Correct.
Our police department's really, really good at what they do, and we just want to be there as quick as possible to provide the public with the safety that they need should something terrible happen.
Now, is the CSFD one of the first fire departments to go to this and having the protective gear for firefighters?
Actually, across the country, there's a lot of departments that have gone to this. We are real fortunate in Colorado Springs that Shield 616 is headquartered here.
Absolutely.
So to be able to partner with them, we're the first fire department that they've taken on as part of their ministry to get our firefighters outfitted in ballistic wear. And actually, my own home church that I've been going to for over 30 years, Heart of the Springs, they have adopted Fire Station 6, and they are real close now to being able to provide the ballistic wear to their neighborhood fire station.
That's fantastic. And I know getting it done with those protective.
Yep, it's a step at a time, but we're getting it done, and we want our firefighters to be protected.
Now, shifting gears, Chief, something that a lot may not know about, but there are some independent individual fire stations around, and one of them is the Cimarron Hills Fire. And apparently the board of Cimarron Hills Fire has approached CSFD, haven't they?
They have. Actually, it started off with their fire chief approaching me probably over a year ago and asking me if we were interested in taking on the responsibility of responding in Cimarron Hills District. So from that point on, it's been discussions with their board. They have an independent board that's elected there, their fire board. We've had discussions with them, and it looks like it's going forward that we're going to have that be able to kind of merge with Cimarron Hills, bring several of their employees over to the Colorado Springs Fire Department, and we'll be operating an engine out of their fire station to provide the same level of service to their community. You know, that's the main thing. I don't want their community to think that their level of service is going to drop off. Of course, you know, being a Colorado Springs fire guy for the last 30 years, I want to say it's going to get better, but we're going to be working with those firefighters out there, bring them on the Colorado Springs Fire Department, and then move forward with the board. Now, there's some things that have to happen first.
Mm-hmm.
On our side, we're working on an intergovernmental agreement right now with Cimarron Hills' attorney and the city attorney's office. And then we're going to be meeting with the city council, specifically the budget committee.
Okay.
It's only fair that we meet with that budget committee, make sure that they're aware of what's going on, what the impacts will be.
On the budget, how will the funding work,
Exactly. Really how the funding works, because there's not going to be a negative impact for the city. Our citizens are not going to be, the citizens of Colorado Springs are not going to be augmenting the fire protection in Cimarron Hills. They're able to sustain on their own budget, and we'll just have an agreement with them to get that work done.
And again, it sounds like it's kind of in the preliminary stages, but getting close to.
We're hoping for the first quarter of next year sometime to make this all happen.
Okay, so we are going to take a break now, and when we come back, I promise, we're going to get some safety tips from Chief Cola. See, the best person to get them from. We're going to talk about winter weather-related safety tips and being ready for the holidays. What do you need to do with your live tree? Don't ignore it. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
So we'll have more with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're talking with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas. And Chief, we are very lucky that we get to talk with Kathy and Sunny every week from the CSFD, and they give us great tips and being safe. And if there's things that we need to be aware of that, you know, CSFD says, this is going on, be aware. So we truly appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate Sunny and Kathy. They keep us safe around the office, too.
Do they?
They're terrific at what they do, and right. they make a huge impact in this community. They talk to people all over from all walks of life, and they are always talking about how to stay safe, and I really appreciate that. They are a big asset to Colorado Springs.
Absolutely. And don't they even go out into some of the schools around and help with the education piece of it?
They do it on a wide range of customers. They reach out to our school children, but they also reach out to seniors that are living in assisted care communities and things like that. They really, across the board, make an impact in this community.
Well, and it's great to know, because sometimes, you know, stuff happens, or maybe we're not having the brightest moments, are we? Like, it happens to all of us.
You know, and we're fortunate we're on the other side of Thanksgiving, and I didn't hear about anybody trying to fry a turkey indoors this year.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
And that was really scary, because over the summer, you fire department had to, you know, be called out to a couple of grill fires, which is scary. And then Thanksgiving, the concern was deep frying turkeys.
Yep, and we got on the other side of that without... I didn't hear about any significant injuries this year, mm-hmm. And maybe I just haven't heard of them, but I haven't, and that's a good thing, and I haven't heard about any fires associated with turkey frying or anything like that. You know, a few years ago, that was a new thing to deep fry a turkey, and now there's a lot more information on it, a lot of YouTube videos that show all of the bad things that can happen, mm-hmm. And people, I think, really are much more aware of the dangers that are associated with that, so they're taking the right precautions.
Right.
And keeping themselves safe, and then coming out with a delicious dinner at the other end.
Exactly. Right? Or there are now restaurants and companies that will do it professionally for you, and you pay them and go pick up your fried turkey. I like it. But of course, we're heading into the Christmas season. We know a lot of people love to have live trees in their homes. They're beautiful. They smell great. But there are some risks that come with that.
There absolutely are. And, you know, we live in a dry environment. We spent the first half of our show this morning talking about wildfire and the dangers of wildfire and how our vegetation dries out so very quickly. So when those trees are brought in a semi and they're dropped off at the tree, tree farms, the places around town where you can buy them, or in front of the grocery stores.
Right.
They are drying out every minute that they're sitting.
Yeah, because they're not watering them, right?
They're not. And they're not in water. And even then, you know, the trees don't have the root system on them, so they're not going to take in water the way that a live tree would.
Right.
But it's critically important that if you put a live tree in your house, make sure that you water it each and every day. Make sure you tie it down good on your car when you're driving home.
Yeah, you don't need a tree launching off the top of your car through somebody else's car.
Hazard, but or in the back of your truck. But,
yeah.
But then also just make sure that you keep it watered, because if you don't, it's going to dry out so quickly. And the most devastating fire that I've ever been to as a Colorado Springs firefighter resulted from a Christmas tree fire that ended up killing two children, mm-hmm. their mother and their grandmother, all in the same house fire. And, you know, those are memories that I'll never forget. And I don't want that to happen to anybody else in our community. That year, I went home. My wife and I had gone up into the mountains. We'd cut our own tree. And when I got home after that fire, I took that tree down and went to the local store and bought a artificial tree. And I don't have that same beautiful pine smell in my house, but I replaced it with an artificial tree.
Absolutely. And like you said, you don't want any of your firefighters to ever experience that, or any family. That's just horrible.
You know, that family will never be the same.
No.
There's a whole two little kids. That's a generation lost in that mm-hmm. family that they'll never experience. And if we can keep our community safe by talking about keeping a live tree as safe as can be, you know, the wires and the lights that we use in trees, those things can get frayed so easily, and they're very inexpensive. Replace them when they need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. Don't tape up a worn or kinked wire. Just replace them. Get replace them with those LED lights. They produce a lot less heat. They're more durable. Get right. those LED lights out on your Christmas tree and around your house too. They're going to save a lot of energy over the old incandescent bulbs.
Yeah, great idea. And then before we have to let you go, Chief, let's also talk about weather-related safety as well, because of course some of the first people on the scene of bad crashes is CSFD.
That's very true.
And stuff at houses, like you also have, you know, stuff with furnaces and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So
right, a basic tip for your furnace is just don't keep combustibles around it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're usually down in a crawl space, or they're in a basement, or someplace where we normally have storage accumulated. But If you can walk around your furnace and keep about 5 feet away from any flame-producing appliance that includes your water heater, you're going to be a lot safer, a lot less chance of an inadvertent ignition of those combustibles. Unfortunately, sometimes we find things that are piled up right against furnaces and right up next to the bottom of the water heaters, and that just is asking for trouble. So please do that around your furnaces and things. And then, you mentioned driving safety. This is the time of year where, on Monday morning when you're waking up after a weekend, you don't know what the roads are going to be like, mm-hmm. or actually any morning, right? On your way to work and that daily commute. Things can get icy real quick here in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that our folks are careful, that they maintain the right stopping distance between them and the car in front of them, mm-hmm. and that varies depending on road conditions.
And answer this quick question for me. I was thinking about fireplaces, Chief. Are wood-burning fireplaces still allowed? Because I know in some areas they're not. I don't know if they're allowed here in the Springs.
They are still allowed here, and we still have some of those. It's being able to enjoy a very long career as I have. Mm-hmm. I remember this time of year, you go outside on a cold winter's night and you smelled a lot of smoke in the air. Mm-hmm. And that's changed. You don't find that anymore. Now when you smell smoke in the air, we're looking for trouble.
Looking for something burning. Yeah.
Yeah, but back 33 years ago, we smell smoke in the air, and that was just all of the neighbors that had those wood-burning fireplaces going. A lot of those are being replaced now with gas inserts. They're a lot safer. They're a lot easier mm-hmm. to operate. But this time of year, when things start to get cold, we'll probably end up with a couple of house fires associated with people that are getting their coals out, and they think the coals are cool. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we see people put them in a cardboard box and set them on their back deck. Mm. And then bad things happen when that happens. A little bit of wind comes by, stokes that fire, and you've got a deck on fire that burns into the house. So always, if you're going to use a wood-burning fireplace, put everything in a metal container, sit it away from combustibles, and put a lid on it so that the wind isn't going to...
And it'll help smother it too, won't it?
It'll help smother it. And it just makes... You can even drown it that way if it's in a metal bucket. You can put some water over the top of it, and then you know for sure it's out.
And I know, Chief, you guys have a lot of amazing tips on your website as well. And the very latest that's happening with CSFT too.
Always, we try to keep that updated so that people can know what's going on in their community and what's going on here in Colorado Springs Fire Department. It's just been an honor. Coming to the end of another calendar year, it is just an honor to serve this community. I know that I speak for our just over 500 employees.
Wow.
That take the responsibility of providing fire and life safety to this community very seriously. And on behalf of all of them, I want to say it's an honor to serve this community and to be a part of Colorado Springs. And we're just really grateful to be here.
Well, thank you, Chief, for you and everybody at the Colorado Springs Fire Department. And we wish you and everybody a very happy and safe holiday season and Happy New Year.
Yes, same to you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Celebrate the holidays as everyone. Celebrate the holidays safely.
Right.
And take care of one another, but it's a time for family and friends. And,
absolutely.
And we are all about that on the fire department.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chief. It's crazy. And we'll see you probably, first quarter?
Yep. We'll look forward to it.
Yes. Thank you. Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas. Coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it is Business Week in Review. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.